Good afternoon. Today is Friday, June the 28th.
It is indeed.
Me and my ego are here. Yeah, we'll have to build you up to super ego in just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. 183rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is that super ego, Lou Quimby.
There you go.
We will proceed with the show once we find a quote, and we'll find a quote.
Got a quote.
When we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby, but before we do our quote.
Oh, I just whipping through this book here, and this caught my eye. Legal maxim, justice delayed is justice denied, which brings up the issue of contracts.
Formal, social, legal, etc.
Four salient parts to a contract. One of which is mutual consent. And in personal relationships, that's the one that is frequently problematic. Legal object, legal age, legal consent. But consent, a promise is not a contract. Promises are made between parents and children, children and children, children and parents, the boss to an employee. It's not a contract. It's a promise. And promises are made to get the other person to go away momentarily, as opposed to making a contract about future behavior. So if you make a contract with somebody, you have to pay attention to the consequences. And there's consequences for breach and consequences for observance. Generally speaking, in a relationship, consequence for observance is, thank you, I appreciate that. And the first consequence for breach is, hey, you said you'd be here at 6, it's now 7:30, what happened? As opposed to a big, angry, blaming, or critical diatribe about my ox has been gored.
You mean 0 to 5,000?
You're 0 to 5,000 yeah. In a nanosecond, yeah. So the first consequence for a breach of agreement in a personal relationship is, you messed that one up, what happened? I had a flat tire, and I hadn't charged up my cell phone, so I couldn't call you. Okay, that's fine. First time is an accident. Second time is a coincidence. Third time starts a pattern. So if you agree to pick up your honey at 6 and you had a flat tire and your cell phone wasn't charged, fair enough. Second time, old college buddy dropped by and so you had a couple of beers and you lost track of time. That's twice.
Yeah, at 2, you are already in trouble.
Okay, made an agreement with me about 6 o'clock, and beer and old college buddy took precedent to the integrity of keeping your agreements, or the essence of justice is due process, which has two parts, a notice and a hearing. So the notice would be drop a dime on your honey. Hey, an old college buddy dropped by. Do you mind if I have a beer with him and chat and I'll pick you up at 7:30? No, that's fine. Go ahead. And then 7:30 rolls around. He shows up. Fine. But shows up at 7:30. And goes,
this is a well-worn trail, I sense.
Yes, been down this trail many times with many people. So, shows up at 7:30 with no notice. What happened? Old college buddy dropped by, had a couple of beers. Okay. go to the movie, enjoy, whatever. Third time, shows up at 7:30 instead of 6. What happened? Oh, I was watching the news, and I guess I just nodded off in the chair and took a nap. I'm really sorry, man. Well, that's three times where, one, the agreement has been breached without proper notice, and two, the clear example of the priorities of keeping a contract aren't met. So there's no rational force of keeping an agreement, a contract. So it's all based on feelings, with the exception of flat tire and cell phone wasn't charged up. Well, everybody's forgotten to charge their cell phone from time to time, but there's three examples in a row. So there's a pattern there somewhere, and the last two are clear that the agreement didn't have a priority for paying attention.
So in this scenario,
instead of her getting all
three consecutives, or three issues over, let's say,
well, there's
10.
Third time starts a pattern. When now you throw out the cell phone and the flat tire.
Right. But over, let's say, 10 appointments, three of them are this kind of thing.
The fourth time, yeah. The fourth time he has another flat tire, you go, wait a minute. Let me go look at your tires. And you go out and you look at the car and there's four bald tires on it. And you go, this is the guy who doesn't pay attention to structure. So instead of taking it personally and getting all bent out of shape, you don't love me, you hate me, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not about me. It's about them not keeping their contracts, not keeping their agreements, and having emotional priorities instead of rational priorities.
Is it tough for a lot of people to extract the me?
Oh, yes.
Out of that equation?
Oh, yes. If you, you know, if you loved me, you would, which is one of the most common, if you loved me.
You'd know.
If you loved me, I wouldn't have to tell you. If you loved me, you'd do it automatically. No, that's not the way that works.
Whoops, guess we're out of here. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. No, it's not. It's 3:19. The glare on the clock. We'll be back.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, the type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding, and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Simple Country Therapist Luke Quimby. This afternoon, we're spending a little bit of time talking about social contacts and contracts. Luke, one of the things, yeah, you were talking about it's about me, and that's the normal fallback most of us have?
Well, that's the emotional fallback. And a contract is an agreement about some rational future event of some sort. I'll be home at 6. Okay, I'll have dinner at 6. Okay. And then if there's a breach of that, then one investigates the breach. Instead of taking it personally, you investigate the breach. Who, what, where, why, when, how much, how come, what happened? That sort of thing. These are the rational questions you ask when you want to know about external circumstances over which you haven't had any input or control. So that part's not personal, but people make it personal very quickly.
Is that a dynamic that has evolved over the last 50 years?
No.
So it's not the baby boomer narcissistic stuff?
No, all you got to do is read Shakespeare and Aeschylus and Hippocrates and Sophocles and Plato. And yeah, no, it's not. That's part of the human condition. It's not. I can dig up a couple of quotes here from 400 AD or BC if you want, right? No, it's part of the human condition. And people immediately thrust their value, self-esteem, self-worth into somebody else's hands and then object when they get bad results.
So why do we do that? Almost not,
for self.
Is it instinctive?
No, it's trained.
Okay, so why hasn't culture figured that one out? Why is it so common?
Well, literature has, drama has, music has. You know, the cowboy music. You know, my honey left me. She took my truck. She took my dog. She took my gun. Play it backwards, and he gets his honey back and his truck and his gun. You know, the old joke.
Right.
Well, it's part of the human condition. People fall in to emotional responses. The difficulty about that is if you fall into an emotional response about a smaller thing, and then you fall into emotional response about the next smaller thing. Now one and one makes three. And you do it a third time. Now one and one and one make 10. Because your ox, you really feel like your ox is being gored. So people get a sense of entitlement about what is DUE to them. So they become do me people. DUE me, DO me. If you loved me, you would do me. You'd read my mind. You'd know what I want. Etc. And so they don't take responsibility for saying what it is they want because it's fearful. And the first fear is rejection. So the rule there is rejection is a choice other people make for their own reasons. Would you like to go with me to the dance? No. Well, if you say, why not? You say, my grandparents are coming to town that night and we're going out for dinner. Oh, that makes sense. But if you do, would you like to go with me to the dance? No. Oh, so you don't like me anymore, huh? Well, now it's all over. Now you got a big CF, a big emotional mess of all sorts of dimension. Because it's based on feeling rather than information. And when two people get together, let's say they're 30 and 35. I had this couple come in years ago. And he'd been a policeman since he was about 19 or 20. That's a long time. And they got married when he was 30. That means she was 25 and he was 30. So he'd been a policeman for over 10 years. Been a policeman for over 10 years when they got married. 2 years later, they roll in and she says, I want him to stop being a policeman because it's dangerous. Duh. Wait a minute. She knew this when she married him, and he'd been a career policeman for 10-plus years, and now she wants him to switch because it's dangerous? Where'd that come from?
Kind of like moving in next to the airport.
And then complaining about the noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lordy. There should be some abatement here. Why don't we move the airport? Yeah, right. That's like, you know, they build they built that housing complex right underneath the approach to
the flyway,
Arcata.
Yeah.
Right. Jeez. It's a legal clearance. There's definitely.
But they're going to hear the airplanes coming.
But you're
going
to hear. Yeah. Give me a break.
Yeah.
And so they come in a little low and they got to give it some fuel to raise themselves up to the proper glide path. Of course, it's going to be noisy. What did you expect? Well, I don't like the noise. No, it's not about what did you expect. They don't pay attention to the contract. They just pay attention to their feelings.
And the personality tends to be consistent across the board. It's not just with interpersonal relationships. It's with all contracts.
Well, interesting about control. You know, the old milk stool of affection, belonging, and control. So if affection and belonging are okay, then they're left with control struggle.
I have no problems with control.
Of course not.
We're going to a break.
Neither do I. I'm going with you.
It's 3:30.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby.
Lou, so, like you said, we're going to a break, and the contract here is I agree with your structure, so I follow your lead.
And we go to the break together.
And we go to the break together, right. So I'm okay, you're okay, we go to the break together. But if I go, well, I'm not finished with my thought here. Tough noogies. The clock is the one that dictates the break, not me, yeah. Right? So I buy in at the beginning to your structure, and then whatever happens within those units of structure is up to the two of us.
Simple, clean, non-emotional.
Right.
In this setting.
Right.
Okay, but if the setting were different.
Well, I do that. See, I've been doing this 47 years and I'm 75 years old, so I've learned and trained myself to do it everywhere. I don't have double standards about that.
But a lot of people will
here,
understand
that. I do it at home.
The setting here, and go, okay, yeah, clock. At home.
Lucy says, dinner will be ready at 6 o'clock. And I go, okay. So I'm out fussing around with the computer, and I look at the clock, and it's 5:55. I shut her down and go in.
No big deal.
Because I've agreed to her structure.
So as we're in these, with this kind of backdrop that we've developed so far, people who are professional negotiators, obviously there are verbal contracts there.
Right.
There are social contracts,
right.
And there are legal.
Professional negotiators have to deal with emotional floods and outbreaks all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time.
So is their expertise, in addition to being able to read people, to be able to separate and get out of that stream?
The lateral arabesque and the diversion and the salving of hurt feelings and understanding that people are leading with their feelings. And so if you're negotiating divorce and the settlements, it's like horse trading. You know, you keep the Mercedes, I'll keep the Lamborghini. No, the Lamborghini is worth more. I want that. Okay, you can have the Lamborghini, but I get the house. Well, this jockeying can go on for 3, 4, 5 separate sessions until people get some sense of equity, and the equity is based on rational figures, what the house costs, what the cars cost, and some sense of feeling that they're getting an okay deal. And
almost a comfort.
Yeah, and that depends on how they jockey around the stuff often. People put a price tag on their emotions based on money, or property, or position, or you can have the house in the flats. I want the house in the hill. Why? The view is better. Okay. Then I get the Lamborghini. Keep the Lamborghini. I want the view. Well, if that's the bargaining chip, fair enough.
So when we step away from that scenario, and let's say we're negotiating, let's say we're Versailles.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Same principles run true? Are the same? Are there constants?
Well, in Versailles, the French stuck it to the Germans badly, and they stripped them naked, and they told them to go run in the streets and feed themselves however they could. In that case, what they did was a bad dignity bargain. They reduced them to basically economic and emotional rubble. So Germans got themselves together and went, oh, okay, you're going to play that way? So when Germans got into France, then they used the old Versailles boxcar or meeting car to sock it back to the French. Neener, neener, neener. Now, at that level, neener, neener, neener is very expensive as opposed to sandbox. It's my truck and you can't have it. Neener, neener, neener. But the emotional level, when coupled with national military buildup,
patriotism,
yeah, honor, whatever, the consequences are way different when you have that much power behind it. So when I look at a marital situation, if there's children involved, then if parents are doing bloodletting about a settlement or a separation, I want to know how the children are affected. And if the parents go, I don't care, then I excuse them from the treatment room. I'm not dealing with that nonsense. But if they care, then they have to talk about the effect on the children, because it's not just about mom and dad now, it's about the family and the consequences for the children as well. And if they pay attention to the consequences for the children, they may, not always, but they may start paying attention to the consequences for themselves. Because if mom and dad are doing bitter breakup, what's going to happen when he gets a girlfriend and she gets a boyfriend? They're going to go down the same road. We can't fake process. So that's why I think it's useful to be rational about rational issues. But a lot of people have a big head of steam built up emotionally, and they're going to get their pound of flesh.
So how do you park emotion in any kind of a negotiating scenario? If it's business, if it's personal, if it's national, or if it's local?
And it has to do with making those lists, parent, adult, child, a list of parent values, a list of adult goals, and a list of child feelings. And lots of people don't want to do that because they emphasize their feelings. So you think of parent, adult, child. The child is a basketball. The parent, adult, are two ping pong balls. What's the target? Big child. So if people lead with their feelings, either they have hard lessons to learn or they don't learn them at all and they continue to lead with their feelings. And then if there's children involved, the children take the short shrift of all that. Now, some kids do okay with that. They recognize that mom and dad are not being nice or rational with each other, and they back out of it. Some kids are forced to take sides. Okay, mom and I are getting a divorce. Who do you want to live with? Oh, Lordy. Now, how's a kid going to decide? That's not a child's job to pick the parent you love the best.
Do judges still do that in family court?
From time to time. Remember, judges have a life of their own and a history of their own and a value set of their own, and they may impose that on the court the same way that therapists impose their values on the treatment room. Treatment is not value-free. Therapists have values. They have beliefs. And if they're smart, they will say their values and say their beliefs and what it means to them. Right. So it's open and disclosing. So there's no big surprises. There's no twists and turns. If you don't disclose your beliefs and your value system, then you will get into hidden control struggles.
Regardless.
Yeah. So I tell people, these are my values, these are my beliefs, and I will not fight with you about that. Because I'm not everybody's therapist, that's for damn sure. As you well know.
Yeah. Point taken. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Quimby.
So if you're looking at contracts and you go, well, gee, how do I start making decent contracts? And one of my thoughts is, look at the five boundaries, the five ordinary boundaries: person, property, papers, time, and space. Now, person, property, and papers are mentioned in the Constitution. Time and space are existential. Now, if you deal with those with dignity and clarity, then there's two things. One is, do you ask permission to cross a boundary? May I look in your purse? May I call on you? May I sit next to you? Now, permission to cross a boundary is useful because those kinds of boundaries are asking the child whether or not it's okay for you to do what it is that you want to do. Now, you don't always say to your wife, may I kiss you? But if you're dating and it's your first date, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe the two of you lock in that wild, monkey embrace for the first kiss, and maybe you don't, right? But there are things like, may I pick you up at 6? No, I won't be home till 7. Oh, okay, how about 7:30 then? 7:30 is good, I'll be there. So will I. Okay, so that's about time and space. So it's useful when you're making agreements about that. Person, property, and papers. Property. May I use your tools? Use your phone, right? Instead of just picking up somebody's cell phone and using it, say, may I use your cell phone? And they go, no. You go, okay. It's not your phone. What's the problem? If you loved me, you'd let me use your cell phone. No, that's not the way it works. So it's interesting about contracts and agreements, whether they're soft or hard. Pick you up at 6. That's a hard agreement. Okay, I'll be there. You have a clock time and a purpose. But soft things like, would you like some more coffee? That's okay. And then you pour them some more coffee. That's asking about that, and then you agree to do the behavior, pour the coffee. But it's interesting about how people use agreements to either come closer together or define boundaries or to stay apart.
What, I know this is really dangerous with only 15 seconds. Agreement on terminology?
Oh, you got to be sure what your words mean.
And oh, the receiver, Lord, yes, understands the working definition.
If I say, I look to my parents for support, and I think about my mom, and you say you look to your parents for support, and you think about your dad in your head, and we talk about parental support, we're on different ground.
Use enough words. Occasionally I listen. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody, love, see you tomorrow morning.